Every once in a while we do this. We raise up our Bibles. Please do that in front of your, if you have one, use the one you brought. If you have a phone, use that. If it has the Bible in it. If it doesn't, don't use that. And then also you have Bibles in front of the pews. Please repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. Here the Father teaches His will. The Son shows His love. And the Spirit reveals His power. And now let's pray this prayer. O Lord, make my mind alert, my heart receptive, and Your glory my greatest concern. And all God's people said, Amen. Please open those Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, but as you have that open, I want for you to first notice something that I discovered this week as I was looking at it, and other commentators discovered it long before I did. Why don't you read to me, Gary, could you put verse 1 up there? Go ahead, read that to me, verse 1. Does that ring any bells? Jesus said that. Isn't that fun to start to discover that in, you know, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What the apostles were teaching was nothing else but what Jesus said and did. And also, beginning, remember Jesus on the road to Emmaus, beginning with the prophets and the Psalms, He told those disciples all that those things in the Old Testament had said concerning Him. That's my translation there. Listen to what Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. The apostles were saying, here in Thessalonians, the apostle Paul was saying, "This I have no need to write to you about that because you already know that that's not something we can know." Now, go to verse 2. Read it to me. Where did they get that? Jesus said that. Exactly. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. And then later on in verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, can you get that, Gary? I think it's number 6 on your slide there. Therefore, in Mark 13, therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. And what I say this morning, stay awake. Because there's some stuff that you and I need to think about together as we read God's Word. Back up to the beginning there, Gary, chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Amen. We end our reading right there at the end of verse 11. Years ago, when our children were small, I put my head together with Maria, we think it was the first year we were here, so that was 22 years ago. David would have been about 6, Laura would have been about 3. We went to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And suddenly, right near where they dress you up to take a picture of your family in a vintage automobile. Anybody got that picture? No? Okay. The lights went out. It was dark. Black. Emergency lights were lit in the far corners, but where we were, it was dark. And we needed light. And ever ready Maria had a flashlight. She turned it on, and we could see each other. It showed we were together, that David hadn't wandered off somewhere. And it pointed the way forward. Others gained a vantage point from that little light. Like the Thessalonian Christians, we are called to live as children of light in this dark world. Children of the day, not of darkness, not of night. And then the last verse here says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. And we are called to help each other live in the light. We've been given the equipment, the wherewithal to do just that. Encourage each other, build each other up, to live as sons and daughters of the light. But I don't like that very much. My nature seems to go against the notion that I'm responsible for encouraging the brightness of your light or someone else's light. In fact, if we were to be honest, full disclosure here this morning, tearing down comes more easily, doesn't it, than building up. It's our sinful nature deep inside. That's what Christ came to redeem and make new. But being a discouragement oftentimes is what comes naturally. We need the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to turn that around so that we become those who build up and encourage. Come, Holy Spirit, we say. First point this morning is shine. Write it down, underline it. We've been called to shine. For at one time, Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're called to be more and more true to our new position. And our new position is that we'd look like a cloudy day in February in West Michigan, right? Say no. No. As children of light of the day. Here, God, who is light, rules. So our new nature is to shine. A man or a woman who shows godly character is reflecting the light of life, Jesus Christ. He's the pattern. He's the power. And unlike the world that is all about hiding, drunk at night, asleep in the day, asleep at night, unaware, not alert, oblivious to the needs around them, ignoring the signs of the shortness of life, the world is not going to instruct us on the fact that Jesus Christ is coming and that his coming can be at any time. But we're not of the night, we're of the day. Being of the day, we shine our light into the night and people see it and they want to respond to it. As Allison said, they'll know, and she wasn't the first one to say it, Jesus said it first, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Followers of Jesus belong to the day. In these verses, the word self-controlled or sober is used 2 times. To live a sober life is to be aware. It means there's some things that we're going to see clearly are to be avoided. It's to see some things that we've already experienced in Christ are to be maintained. And it's to see other things that we're to press into, that we're to pursue all the more as we see the day coming. Our character isn't developed instantly and then simply lived out, though. This shining takes some time. Here's where some of us who have grown up in the church have a lot to learn. We think we've already arrived, we've made it, and all we have to do is stay the course. And But we've got another thing coming, if that's what we're really thinking. Over the years, we've begun to incorporate some cruddy stuff into our lives and into our behavior. And then we begin to excuse it by saying, oh, that's just the way I am. Live with it. Dave and Liz, my son and daughter-in-law, are with their church fasting. And the thing that Dave and Liz chose to fast for 6 weeks is TV and screen images. David said to me the other day, you can't believe how much time I have. Whoa. Began to show how much that need had crept into their lives. I wonder if we were to try something like that, what would it show? And not just that, there's a host of other things that perhaps have made inroads into our lives that are distracting us, are keeping us from staying awake. To say that's just the way I am is not a Christian phrase. Why? Because the Spirit of God is at work in your heart, and He is changing you. That may be just the way you are today, but if at the end of year 2015, I've not made some progress in that area, I haven't been praying for release in that area, I haven't been praying for growth in that area, I've not shared my struggle with another follower concerning those things, then I've not sought change. I've been living with it. And we don't want to live with it any longer. Sober and awake. That's what we're called to be. There's something about shining in a world of darkness that takes diligence. There's a call to be alert, awake, and sober. And that reminded Paul as he was writing of a sentry keeping guard, needing defensive armor, protection in the midst of temptation. Did you notice that there's a breastplate of what? Faith and love, and a helmet of hope of salvation. Isn't that weird? Kind of turns things around. It's supposed to be faith, hope, and love, right? But it's faith, love, and hope of salvation. Let's look at those just a minute. Faith. That's a sure knowledge of the Lord and His promises. A confidence that all our sins are forgiven in Christ. That He is the object of our faith. We trust Him completely. He fully paid for all our sins. In the face of temptation, to be well aware that Christ has paid the full penalty for our sin is wonderful. It's what Tim Endine reminded us from Romans 8 last week. What verse did he read? Besides Romans 8, I just gave it to you. He wrote a bunch, but what's the first verse? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is our faith. And then the breastplate of love. We love the Lord because He first loved us. There's a protective awareness of God's great love for us, that again, in the face of temptation, we belong to Him. We're part of His family. He's adopted us in. Nothing can separate us from His love. If we hold on to that truth, we'll be strong in the face of temptation to lull us into complacency or sleep. And then the hope of salvation. I thought we already were saved. Yes, we are. But the hope of salvation rests in that one day, all things are going to be set right when Jesus Christ comes again. So there's warfare involved in this staying alert too. Both the external circumstances that the world is pouring into our lives at a pace that we could never have imagined years ago, and internally the desires of our hearts are often so easily persuaded to go in a different direction. We need to be alert, awake, and sober. So shine is point one. Point two is encourage each other to shine. Verse 11. Ephesians 4:15 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. In Jesus' ministry, He gathered and built up His disciples, people who would follow Him. And now you and I are given that charge to encourage and build up. Guess what the Greek word, I love when I can say the Greek word. Guess what the Greek word for encourage is? I'll give you a hint. It's paraclete. Who else is the paraclete? Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside and brings encouragement. And the other word that we're to do for one another is to build each other up. Ephesians 2:22, there's a great 2:22 verse, 2:22. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside. The Holy Spirit is the one who builds us up into a temple to pray to the praise and glory of God. If that's the Holy Spirit's work, and the Holy Spirit indwells us, guess what God's people are going to start to do? We're going to encourage and build up, just what the Apostle Paul is challenging us to do here. We're going to supporting, caring, encouraging, comforting, building up our ministries of the Holy Spirit that belong to all the members of the body. It's taking the truths of God's word and putting a flesh and blood reminder on them. There were those who were sorrowing the loss of loved ones in Thessalonica. The doctrine is, in this passage, that we have a glorious and sure hope of resurrection because Jesus Christ has gone before us. The doctrine's that. The ministry is to encourage one another and build each other up. There were those who were fearing the judgment and wrath of God, verse 9. The doctrine is God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The ministry that we've been called to is to encourage one another and build each other up in that truth. There were those who needed to learn daily what it means to follow and serve Jesus. The doctrine is this: we are now children of the day and not of the night. The ministry is to encourage one another and build each other up. And then Paul adds the phrase in verse 11, just as in fact you are doing. No community of believers can call itself Christian if these things are not going on among the body. Every community of believers needs to hear the exhortation again and again to shine bright for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You look at my character, and I look at yours, and I see in me and in you a need for a clear reflection of God's light and glory. Did that come as a surprise to anybody, by the way? That there's a need for a clearer reflection of God's light and glory among us? Can you say yes to that? Yes. Yes. I would despair, you would despair, if all we had to rely on was our own resources. But it is the Lord who is in us. We are called to live close to Him. Our witness, our love is to be a witness to a dying, unloving world. John 1 verse 18 says this, no one has ever seen God. The only God or only begotten God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. It was Jesus' life when He was here on earth that was the visible manifestation of the invisible God. And the next time the Apostle John uses that phrase that no one's ever seen God, it's in 1 John 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Do I need to say that again? Let me read it one more time. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. So from the time Jesus ascended into heaven until He comes back again, love between Christians has become the visible manifestation of the invisible God. When people see that we love one another, they're going to want to enter in and be released from the things that held them back, that held them down into the darkness. And brother and sister, if there's anything in your life right now that keeps you from following Christ closely, you know what it is, that in the dark night, you're availing yourself of that thing or of that relationship or of that desire or pursuit, then this morning God asks you to just let it go and say, Lord, I know as your child, I need to be alert and sober, and I know that that may be even good in and of itself, but it's taken way too much part of my life. I need to let go of it. God, by the Holy Spirit, will help us to release those things. Amen? He will. He does. Jesus, the light, calls us to shine as lights in this dark world, pointing others to himself. Let's pray, God, may it be so. That your light in us shines out purely, freely, that others might know. Come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.